Hope everyone is doing well. Today's daf is daf Nun Ches. So let's take it, the last two lines of Nun Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Tanya Rabban and the Braisa teaches us that Shlosha Devarim Nemru Be'istima. There are three things said about Istima. Istima is some type of ornament that women would wear. We discussed in yesterday's daf, not together. So the Gemara says that three things were said about this Istima, some type of cloth. Ein ba mishum klaim. It's not subject to klaim. Why not? Rashi explained because it wasn't sewed together, it wasn't spun together. They were just kind of laid on top of each other. That's not subject to klaim. Number two is the Gemara says, Ve'ein matame binagam. That's not subject to tumas nega either. And that's because, as Rashi points out, anything that's not subject to klaim is also not subject to nega tzaras. There's a gzer shava, there's a drasha of some sort. And thirdly, the Gemara says, Ve'ein yotin ba lirishus rabim. A person does not wear it in rishus rabim. It's not considered a tachsh, not considered wearing something, it's considered carrying something. And comes along now, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Amru, he says, even one more thing, Af Ein Ba Mishum Ataras Kalas. It's not subject to crowns being worn by Kalas. What does that mean? So that if you look at Rashi in the top of Nun Ches, Rashi says, Ein Ba Mishum Ataras Kalas, De Gazra Lam Shlo Tete Ben Michurban Ve'elach Mishum Tzar. There's a Gezerah, the mission, so that says after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Chacham decreed that Kalos cannot wear crowns. So this is not considered a crown, and they are allowed to wear this. There's interesting Mishnah Berurah. Today's Daf in Practice in All Daf app, I spoke about Taros Kalos, about Kalos wearing crowns. Mishnah Berurah says he's not sure why people wear crowns. It's against Mefurish Gemara. So there are really three explanations here in the Rishonim as to why the Istma is allowed to be worn, and that may apply to the current day, the modern day crowns that women sometimes wear as kalos. So some say that because this istima was made of cloth, the gezerah and the sota is only talking about if it had gold or silver on it, but this istima had none of those, it was simply cloth, and that's why it's allowed. That doesn't seem to be the crowns that women wear above their veils are not made of cloth only, seemingly they have some type of silver and jewels on them, that wouldn't be a heter. There's another opinion of the Ritva who says that, no, even if it has silver on it, it's fine, it's all dependent on whether it's chashiv or not. Unclear how to define chashiv, but only if it's a chashiv crown is that a problem. If it's not such a chashiv crown, a crown that kids play with, or maybe kalas play, you know, wear, I guess, and but not so chashiv, that would be allowed. But again, unclear how to define chashiv. The Ramban says, no, it depends. What is the ikker crown? If the ikker crown is made of silver, that's a problem. If the ikker crown is made of cloth, but there are some silver linings and gold on it, that would be fine as well. It depends on what is the ikker part of the crown. So those are three explanations that may or may not explain why some kalas wear the crown. Take a look at the all daf today. The top line, the Gemara says, now further, Nun Ches Ushmul Amar, Kivla de of the Tanan. The Mishnah had mentioned this kavla that Avadim would wear. It's usher for the Evid to go out wearing it. It had a signature, a sign, a symbol that they were an Evid Kanani. So the Gemara says, Umi Amar Shmuel Halki. The Shmuel really say that that's not allowed to be worn? But Amar Shmuel, doesn't Shmuel say, Yotzei Evid Bechosem Shebet Tavaro? He can wear this symbol around his neck, Avalo Bechosem Shebet Kususo. He can't wear it that's on his clothing, but around his neck, he may wear it. But the Mishnah sounds like you can't wear it at all. So the Gemara says, Lokasha, Ha David Le Rabbe, Ha David Le Iunafsh, Lenafsh, depends who made it. If the Evid made it, so then he's certainly not going to take it off, and he can and should wear it in the Rishas Rabbim. If the Evid Kanani himself made it, so if he takes it off, there's no one to hold him accountable, and that's a case where he cannot wear it. Just look at Rashi, four lines down from the top, it says Rashi, the David Le Rabbe, Ishle Emasa. He has his ema, the fear, the scare. He's scared of his master. Lo shakale mitzavar. He won't remove it from his neck, from around his neck. Lo lichu biado, to carry it, and therefore it's allowed if the master made him wear it. But if he himself voluntarily wore it, then he's not allowed to wear it outside because he might take it off. There's no accountability there. So the Gemara then says, "B'mayu kimta lahav the Shmuel b'David le'rabbi." So with that, we describe that Shmuel said when the Rav made it, b'chosim shibakasusa amaylo. So if the Rav made it, so how come we had a distinction whether he wore it around his neck or whether he wore it on his clothing? Even if if the Rav made it, the master made it, he should wear it because he should have that same fear factor of taking off the chosim and carrying around and walking it, carrying around. So whether b'tavaro or b'kasuso, he should be allowed to wear it because since the master made it, there's no chashash of him taking it off. So the Gemara says, Dilma mifsek umirtas, perhaps it might break off. And he'll be scared that his master finds him not wearing it on his clothing. Umikfalei, he's going to take another clothing and kind of fold it over his shoulder to cover the area where it was ripped off. Umachazlei, and have it over the shoulder. Akasri, over his shoulder. And Keder of Yitzchak bar Yosef, that he teaches us the Amr of Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amr of Yochanan, Hayotzi betalis mekufelis. A person who carries a talis that's folded, umonechazla akseifav, he's wearing the talis, he's not wearing it, he's carrying it folded on his shoulder, that is the chayiv chadas, because you're not wearing it the regular way. So here the chashash is, if the chosim's on the clothing, and if it, let's say, rips off, so he wants to cover the tear, so no one knows, who may put a piece of talis or something, a talis on his shoulder, and it will cover the area where it's ripped off, and no one will know that underneath it, he's not wearing the chosim, and that would be carrying on the shoulder. That's the concern, the Gemara says. V'chihad amr le'shmul Rav Chinna, like that Shmuel said to Rav Chinna, bashila kula rabbanan be'rish galusa, that all the rabbanim, all the tamidim of the be'rish galusa, lo lifke b'sarvale chasimi, they're not allowed to go out with these types of covers that have a signature that they come from the Reish Galusa, because they're scared that it might fall off. And there's a big scare, we mentioned this in the past, people are scared of the Reish Galusa. And therefore, if they have to wear it on their clothing, look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Kula rabbanan lo lifke b'sar vali chasime hayosin chosmos l'talesos." They would make little signs on their talesos. Shelahen kein avadim like avadim laharos yehin kfuvim reish galusa, to show their loyalty to the reish galusa. Lo lifke, they should not go out with these chosmos on Shabbos, because the mafsuki, if they rips off mitasi, they're scared that maybe the reish galusa is going to see them that they tore off, even though not purposely, but maybe it was torn off. Umakfilei, they're going to take a talis and cover it, and end up carrying on Shabbos. So whenever there's a fear factor, we don't allow you to go out with the chosim, because you might try to cover it up by carrying something instead. So just like by Eved Kenani, so too by the Talmidim, the Rabbanim of the Reish Galusa. The only exception, the only one person who was allowed to walk out with it, who wasn't scared of the Reish Galusa, says the Gemara, Lebar Minach, except for you, Delo Kapte Alecha, to be Reish Galusa. Except for you yourself, Rav Chinna, and you're not scared of the Reish Galusa, if you don't go out with the, if you go out with the chosim, you're not concerned. So even if you did wear it, and it fell off, you don't really care, you're not really scared of the Reish Galusa, and you would be allowed. But outside of that, it's also to go out with the chosim, whereby there's a fear factor, whether it's the Rabbanon of the Reish Galusa or the Avadim of a master. Gemara now says, around 15 lines down or so, Gufa, the two dots. Amar Shmuel. We're repeating what we had said before, that Shmuel says, Yotze ha'eved b'chosem shebetzavaro. A person, an eved, could go out with the sign around his neck. Avalo b'chosem shebetzavaro, but not if it's around, or not on his clothing. Tanya Nami Hochi, the Raisa says the same thing, Yotze ha'eved b'chosem shebetzavaro, avalo b'chosem shebetzavaro. Where Minu asks the Gemara challenges, this is really true. Lo yitzeh avi eved b'chosam shebetzavaro v'lo b'chosam shebekasuso. An eved can't go with a chosam, whether or not it's on around his neck, or even if it's on his clothing. Either way, it's us. So that's a question. And the Gemara continues to say further now, the zevet ze'ei mekavlin tuma. In both cases, it's not subject to tuma. If you look at Rashi, why not? Because it's not a noy for an eved. It's not a noy. It's not a decoration for him. It's not considered a tachshit. So therefore, it's not subject to tuma. And furthermore, the Gemara says, "V'lo bezug shebetzavaro." He can't go around with a little bell around his neck. "V'al yotzehu bezug shebekasuso," but he can't go out with bells on his clothing. "V'zev zev mekabel tuma." In both scenarios, whether it's a bell around the neck or a bell on the clothing, that is mekabel tuma. A bell is considered a noy; it's considered a decoration, therefore considered a kli. And "V'lo teite," but now with respect to behema, "V'lo teite behema," behema should not go out lo b'chosim shebetzavaro, lo b'chosim shebekasuso, whether it's a bell, whether it's a chosim, an emblem around his neck, or even around on his clothing, he can't go out with it. And "V'lo bezug shebekasuso, v'lo bezug shebetzavaro," and an animal also can't go out with a bell either around his neck or even on his clothing. That's not allowed. And Gemara is going to explain all this. In both these cases, both the bell and the chosim are not considered a kli, because it's not considered a noy, it's not considered a decoration, a tachshit for a behema. So this is the din. So the Gemara now says, now Lema suggests, Hodavid le rabbe, Hodavid ilanafshe. So we had a stira that initially we had said Shmuel says that a chosim on the neck, and an eved can wear it around the neck, but not on the clothing. But then this Braisa says that an eved can't wear it, not only on the clothing he can't wear it, but he can't even wear it around the neck. So he's allowed to, can an eved kanani wear this chosim around the neck, or can he not wear it around the neck? And the Gemara answers, Lokasha, again, Lema had eved le rabbe, had eved ilanafshe. If the rabbi made it, the rav made it for him, so then he can wear it around the neck, because he's scared to take it off. But if he made it himself, then he may not wear it around the neck, because if it breaks off, he might just end up carrying it home. So the Gemara then says, lo, idi idi davar le rabbi. Both cases are where the master made it for him. So how can one case he can wear it around the neck, the other case he cannot wear it around the neck? And so the Gemara answers, kan bishel mateches, kan bishel tit. Depends whether it's made of metal or whether or not it was made of mud. What's the difference? So you look at Rashi, lo idi v'idi d'avid l'rabi. Both cases are where the master made it. The afagav de kabul de masis and now kimna b'david le'inafshi. Even though we initially had said that the Mishnah, when he can't wear the kabul, he can't wear it, is when the master, when the Evid himself made it. That's a regular emblem that is made of mud, nothing fancy. The mist bar, if it breaks, if it breaks, no one's going to collect the pieces of some mud and bring it back home. Therefore, we said in the Mishnah, it wasn't where the master made it. So it depends, again, now back to our case, our situation here. So here are both cases, both rises, not the Mishnah. The Mishnah is where the Evid himself made it, fine. Here, where the master made it, so it depends. If it's going to be made of metal, so then he wants to make sure to bring the metal back. He's scared of the Rebbe. But if it's made of tit, made of mud, made of dirt, then there's not a concern of him bringing back, and therefore, if it breaks, so he'll just leave it there in the street, and not a problem. So the Gemara then says, "Uchdav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avua Davar Hamakbid of Rabbo Ein Yotin Bo." That which the Rav is makbid about, you can't go out because if it breaks, you're going to have to bring it back to you. But Kan Bishel Tit, sorry, I skipped a line there. Again, Davar Makbid of Rabbo Ein Yotin Bo. Davar Shein Makbid of Yotin Bo. That which the Rav is makbid on, you should not go out because if you go out with it and breaks, you might bring it. That which the Rav is makbid about is not a big deal because if it breaks, so he's not makbid, so you just leave it wherever it might be. Just look at Rashi. Rashi says, Davar makbid love Rabbo in the Yovod. If you lose it, he'll get very upset. Lo Yeta, you shouldn't go out with it on Shabbos because the mapsik, if it snaps off, Maishele, you're going to end up bringing it. So the Gemara now says, Hachanami Mestavar. It's also very sensible to say what? They were talking about a metal type of chosem. Why? Because midikatani zevze a makabal tumah. From the fact that it says this and this are not makabal tumah, so if only if it's metal is it subject to talk about makabal tumah or not makabal tumah. If it's made of tit, we'll see in a second, you can get nothing to talk about. Tit isn't subject to tumah. It's not even shaykh to mention that. We know that. But only if we say it's matechas of metal can you start talking about makabal tumah, ain't makabal tumah, as the Gemara says. That iyamis bishamah, if you say shematechas, that's talking about matechas metal, which we have been saying up until now. Harni hudulo makabal tumah. These are not subject to tumah, but ha kalim didu. If it was made into kalim of the same material, it would be makabal tumah. So this all makes sense if this was metal. But el iyamis, like I just said, if you suggest bishel titnan, that's talking about made of mud, honey hudulo makabal tumah. Only these types of things, this chosen made of mud, is not makabal tumah. Is that to imply ha kalim didu makabal tumah? But if it was made into kalim, if the tit was made into kalim, it would be makabal tumah. V'hatani, the Braisa clearly states kli avanim, kli galalim, v'kli adama. If it's a stone, if it's made of excrement, galalim of animals, or it's made of dirt, ain makabal tumah. These are not matumah, not makabal tumah. Lo midirei tovah, lo midirei sofrim. So the fact that you could even address the question makabal tumah must be, says the Gemara, el shma mina shematechas shma mina. We're talking about a metal, and when a person has a chosem shematechas, that we say he can't go out because if it breaks, he's going to have to bring it back and carry it. But if it's made of sheltit, then he can, because even if it does break, he's going to just leave it there. The rav is not makbid on it. Gemara now says around 10 lines from the bottom, Amar Mar. We're saying what we had said earlier, Lo bezug shebetzavaro, ava yotzehu bezug shebeksusu. We had said above, with respect to the bells, that a Eved Kenani cannot walk out with a bell around the neck, but he may walk out with a bell that's attached to his clothing. So Gemara says, Zog shebetzavaro, amai lo. Why can he not go out with a bell around the neck? Dilma mifseik vasil esuye. So it might snap off, and he's going to carry the zug back home, and carry Rosh Hashanah. Zug shebeksusu. Now he asks him, Amar Leichash. So if the bell is on the clothing as well, shouldn't he be concerned it might snap? And he might bring it back home as well. So Gemara says, "Dilma misik vasi lesuye." So Gemara says, "Hachav maskin." What's the case here? De mechebe mumcha, mechebe mumcha. What does that mean? Where if you look at Rashi three lines up, mechebe mumcha she'argo bebegin, where it was woven by an expert onto the clothing, v'sulo mifsik, it's not going to snap off. We trust that it was tied on, it was woven so well, it's not a real chashash. That which was tied, that which was woven professionally, you have no problem going out with it. Logazu, there's no gzera, says Rashi. Logazu, lotzeis bo. So therefore, it's allowed. Udrav Huna says Rashi linen arug ki agavna nami itmar dashminan the lo chashinan su ledilma mifsek. So if it's around the neck, it wasn't woven in the neck. It's on a little string, and that string could snap, and therefore lo yetek. But if it was a arug, it was woven onto the clothing by a professional, there's no real chashash, and then one may go out to rishus harabim. Gemara then says the last five lines of the Amud here. Amar Mar. An animal cannot go out with an emblem, a sign of some sort around his neck, nor on his clothing, nor can he go out with a bell, whether around his neck or even on his clothing. The Gemara concluded, Ein Mekablin Tuma is not Mekablin Tuma. So the Gemara says, really? The bell that's around an animal's neck is not Mekablin Tuma. It's not called a Tachsha, it's not called a Kli. We're mini asking Gemara. We have a Brisa that tells us otherwise, Tosefta that's found in Maseches Kelim, that says, Zug Shebehema Tame. A bell of a Behema Taka is Tame. So further, the Gemara says, well, I'm in Bays now, that Vishal Dallas Tar, if it's a bell that's on a door, that's Tar. Why is that Tar? So look at Rashi in the top here. Vishal Dallas Tahor, Dallas Mechuber Labayasu. We know a door is attached to the house. It's Shehu Mechuber Lekarker, and the house is attached to the ground. Ve'eino Kli Lekabel Tuma. We know there's a din that only that which is Metaltlim can be considered Kalim Mechuber Tuma. That which is attached to the ground, that's Mechuber Lekarker, cannot be Mechuber Tuma. And therefore, since the bell is attached to the door, which is attached to the house, it's all, as Rashi says, Vizugha Aselo, Batul Lagabe. It's all Batul, and it's all considered attached to the ground and tahor. So then the Gemara says further, the top line here, Sheldelis v'asol behema. If it was a bell that was attached to the door, and then you decide to use the bell for a behema, it's tamim, because now you're currently using it for an animal, it's metaltlim. If it's shel behema v'asol ledelis, let's say it was initially made for the behema, and then you decide to attach it to your door, af al pi shechibru ledelis, v'kabu b'masmeirim, even though you've attached it to the door, you've nailed it into the door, tame, it's still tame because it came from the behema. We have a klal, shekol ha-kelim yordin lide tumasan b'machshava, that a keli can be subject to tumah simply by thinking about it, by machshava, to use it as a kli. However, the opposite doesn't work. V'ein olin mi de tumasan ela b'shune maisa. But to remove something from tumah, it requires more than a machshava, you have to do a maisa. So even though it was initially made for behema, now being used for a delus, you would think it should be tower, but machshav alone, just thinking to do something, you need to do a shina maisa, you need to change something to the actual thing, but just to move it from a behemoth to delus, that's not a shina maisa, not enough of a shina maisa, and therefore it's still tame. Either way, we see from here that a zug shel behemoth is mekabel tuma, while the brayso on Amun Aleph says a zug shel behemoth is not mekabel tuma. And so the Gemara answers, Lokasha, Had Islay Inbal, Had Leslay Inbal. What's an Inbal? Inbal is a little thing in the inside the bell that makes it ring, and therefore, if it has an Inbal, that's called a Kli. That's Makabal Tuma. If there is no Inbal inside, there's no little dinger, whatever you call it inside, the clapper, that is not Makabal Tuma. That is not considered a Kli. So if you look, Vaitu now says the Gemara, Manosh, Mimanovshach. E Manahu, if it's a Mana Kli, Avapiti Leslay Inbal. If it's a mana, who cares whether there's this clapper inside? Whether it's an inbal or not inbal. Ila mana, and if it's not a mana, if a bell is not a mana, not a kli, inbal mashve le mana. So the fact that it's a clapper is going to make it a kli. The Gemara says the inbal shouldn't have it shouldn't play a role here. Either a bell is a kli or it's not a kli. Why would the inbal have any meaning? And the Gemara says, no, it does. Perhaps the answer is obvious, intuitive, what we'd have thought. But the Gemara says, it does make a difference. The inbal does classify a bell as a kli. So, Kedir Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Dem Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Minayin Lemashmiya Kol Bekli Matechos, Shu Tamei. How do you know that a person is going to make noise with a metal utensil, metal instrument? It's subject to Tumas Makabel Kli, Makabel Tumah rather, it's considered a Kli. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, and what's interesting, Joshua, we'll look at Tosin in a second, that the Pasuk says, Kol Davar Sheyavova Eish, anything that was used with fire, Tavir Be'esh, you should put in fire. So the Drasha is talking about Hagala and Libun. The Gemara is talking about when they got from clay Midian, they got all the various utensils, they had to kasher them. So the Pasuk says, if it was used with only coal, so you just wash it off. If it was used with hot water, mime, you have to do Hagala. If it was used with fire, you have to do Libun and fire. Whatever, kibolo kach polto. However it was absorbed, that's how the treif is removed. That's this is the basis of all Hagala and Libun. So the Pasuk says, Kol davar sheyavo b'esh, tavir b'esh. Anything that went through, any matter that went through fire, you kasha through fire. So the Gemara makes a drasha, afilu dibur yavo, it says, Kol davar sheyavo b'esh, afilu dibur, even speech, yavo b'esh, requires a Hagala. requires libun. So meaning even that which is mashmiya kol is called a kli. It's a drasha. Kol davar, anything that makes a dibur, that makes a sound, is a subject, is considered a kli. So now, Tosa points out, this is talking about hagalas kelim, achsharas kelim, not talking about tumah v'tahara. Tumah v'tahara is very different than kashing from treifus. So Tosas points this out. Tosas writes on the top there, kol davar asher yavo, v'yavo gab dehai kura lo legabi tumah, because even though the pasuk is not talking about tumah at all, el legabi hagala, kashing kelim, mistavra, dehasam ein dibur mala morid, there, but when it comes to hagalas kelim, what relevance is speech? How does speech make something kosher or not kosher? Certainly doesn't make any difference. So it has nothing to do with Haggalah. To know in the Tumah, we could apply it to another area of Halacha, namely that of Tumah, so that if something is able to be mashmiya kol, there's an instrument, a bell, or whatever else, that actually does make it into a kli. Interesting drasha, again, kol davar sheyava ba'esh havir ba'esh. So then the Gemara says, it's an interesting discussion here. The poskim talk about, when it comes to Tvila, Shemir Esrei, Kedusha, and other areas of davening, if a person sings without speech, not part of the davening, is that considered a hefsek? So when you're saying the words of Tvila, so that's not a hefsek, that's part of the Nusach HaTvila. But let's say you're doing like 999s of some sort, you're having a little niggin in between the Kedusha, in between the different lines, is that considered a hefsek? So that's an interesting discussion. So the Shevet Levi felt not, but other posts can bring a ride from this Gemara that maybe these 999s would be considered hefsek, because since we say anything that's Mashmir Kol is considered a Dibur, it's called Davar, it's called a Dibur. Even singing Mashmir Kol is called a Dibur, maybe some Nigunim would be considered a speech and would be considered a Hepsik during davening. It seems that the practice is that we are makel to allow for, you know, humming or nai-naiing during davening and not considered a Hepsik, but interesting Raya nonetheless. Back inside the Gemara, which have just proved that yes, the relevance of the existence of an inbal does play a role, and it is relevant. If it has an inbal, it's considered a kli. It's because mashmiya kol, and if it has no inbal, it's not considered a kli. So that's the difference about the zug shel behema. The zug shel behema, if it has an inbal, it's a kli makabel tumah. If it has no inbal, so that's not a kli, and it's not makabel tumah. So back inside the Gemara now, the Gemara says b'mayo kimta. We're a little bit less than halfway down the Gemara here, the Amud here. B'mayo kimta b'delesle inbal. How come we said before that the behema, the zug shel behema is tahor? It's a case where there's no inbal, but there's no clapper inside. So b'mayo kimta b'delesle inbal. Ema mitziyasa. Look at the mitziyasa. Mitziyasa says v'lo b'zug shebetzavaro v'yotehu b'zug shebeksusa. So when it came to the Eved Kanani, however, we made a distinction whether or not there's a bell around the neck, then he cannot go out, but there's a bell on the ksus, so he can go out. And v'zev zem makablan tuma. And both scenarios, whether it's a bell around the neck or the bell on the clothing, they're both makabel tuma. Now if we're saying, we're talking about a zug here that has no inbal, v'delesle inbal, mi makabel tuma, is it going to be makabel tuma? We just said, the only type of bell that's makabel tuma if it has an inbal. So we said the reason why by behema it's not makabel tuma because there's no inbal. So then how come by the Eved Kanani, that same case, we can't say it is makabel tuma? So the Gemara says Urmini, ha'osa zagin lemechteshes la'arisa l'tap. You make a zagin, these which is a plural for a zug. You make bells lemechteshes. Mechteshes is when you end up crushing spices. Rashi says if you look at Rashi, ha'osa zagin lemechteshes. You crush the spice of the Ketores in the base of Migdash. That kol sounds good for besamim. Somehow, when you crush it, the sound enhances the smell. So that itself is an interesting din. How kol, how sound affects smell. You do have such a concept, maybe a similar concept. A person once remarked to me that they have these studies that when you're growing a flower or plant and you speak to it every morning and you sing to it, it actually grows better. So there's such a concept how the music does affect even the inanimate or even the plants. Now plants are alive, spices are dead, but it has some impact. Maybe that's a raya. But either way, the Gemara says osin zagin lemechtesha. So you could the bells they made for the grinder, the crusher, la risa. When it came to Rashi says la risa shatino kshochi besocha the crib. Little bells, jingle bells, not jingle bells, little bells to make the child go to sleep nicely and smoothly. You have around the, a Sefer Torah, you have these things to wake up the kids, or maybe just to tell people the Sefer Torah is coming. All these things are tamei. Only if there's an inbal. Ain lam inbal, but if there is no inbal, tahorim, they're tahor completely. If, let's say, nitlu in balayim, if you remove the clappers, adayin chumasin alayim, they're still subject to tumah.
So we see here that the presence of the inbal plays the utmost importance. But only if there was an inbal initially, is it tameh. But if there's no inbal, so then it's tahor. So how come by the Eved Kanani, we already established the Braisa as a case where there is no inbal? That's why behema, it's tahor. So if there's no inbal, how come by an Eved Kanani, those zagim are tameh? So the Gemara says, Hani mila betinok de lakala avid le. The only time when the inbal is of relevance is when you're trying to mimashmir kol. Went there to create sound by the child, by the kataris. Our gadol tachshu. When a gadol wears a bell, men, women may women, but men, a gadol don't wear bells to make noise. For him, it's a tachshu. It's like a little tachshu. For a man to wear a bell, it's not to make sound. It's just as a decoration, and therefore, even without the inbal, it would play significance, and therefore, it would be a clean subject to tumah. Says the Gemara now for the Amar Mark. That nitlu in balein adain tumasin elein. So we had said above that if you have these bells with the clapper in it, they're makabel tumah. If you remove the clapper, so they're still adain tumasin elein. They're still tameh. Lemai chazeh, why is it tameh? Don't we know that only a kli that's a roi for something is makabel tumah? But once you remove the clapper, its purpose, it's worthless now. Amar bai hol shehedyot yachol lachzir. Since in hedyot could easily put it back in, you could take the bell and just put it right back in, snap it right back in, it goes very easily, that's not considered broken, that's considered still in the initial form. If you need a mumcha, an expert, to fix it, so then that's considered already a shinei maisa, and that would be not makabel tumah. But since here a hedyot could easily put it back in, that's still considered in its full form, and adayin tumasin aleim. The Gemara now asks a question from the following braisa. The Gemara says, "Meisir Rava." Rava says, "Hazug va'inbal chiburu." The zug, the bell and the clapper inside, that's considered chibur. That's considered connected, and therefore, what's the relevance that they're connected? So if you look at Rashi, the last six or seven narrow lines down, Rashi says, "Hazug va'inbal chibur." Kishen yachad harein kliyachad. When they're connected, when the clapper is attached to the bell, it's one unit. Nidmazeh. If one of them gets tamay, if the bell gets tamay, then the clapper is tamay. If the inbal gets tamay, then the zug is tamay. He's alzeh, tarzeh. If you sprinkle on one of them, sprinkle the parduma on one of them, so that parduma is able to transfer to the other as well. The chayven says Rashi, the kar lechibur, since it's called a chibur, shemina minay, the nisparduh have kli shenital miksasam. When you separate the two of them, that's considered disconnected and would be considered broken and would not be subject to tumah anymore. And says Rashi adds, "V'yafa gav the hedyot yachol achziru." Even though a hedyot can easily put it back together, kol kam delo hadre, so long as he doesn't put it back together, lav shalem hu, it's not considered full. So even though Abai above said if a hedyot could put it back together, it's still considered shalem. It sounds like from this brisa that if they're disconnected, they are not shalem anymore. So the Gemara says, "V'chitei mahachi kamar." If you're going to say the brisa really says as follows. No, that the zug and inbal are mechaber, and they're always considered mechaber, even if they're not actually mechaber. If that's what the Brice is really saying, but doesn't the Brice say that maspares shaprakim vizmel shariitani chibur l'tumah vein chibur l'hazah? So we had said that scissors that have two knives that can be separated, and an ismal, a little razor that are two razors that can be disconnected. We said with respect to them that they're chibur l'gabi tumah, that if they're connected, tumah touches one of the scissors, the other one's tummy as well. But with respect to hazah, they're not connected. Even though you sprinkle on one, the other one is not connected. And the Gemara says, "V'aminan manav shach I chibur hu." If it's really considered chibur, afil hazah, then it should be chibur across the board. Just like their chibur, they're considered attached with respect to the tumah, they should be attached in terms of the tara. V'lo chibur hu. If we view them as not being attached, even though they are, but since they're very easily detachable, we don't view them as chibur. Then afil tumah namilo. Then even if for tumah, then they should not be a transfer of tumah either. Either they're connected across the board or they're disconnected across the board. And the Gemara says, "V'amar Rabba, davar Torah, b'shas melacha chibur bein l'tuma bein laza." When it's being used, so then they're touching each other, b'shas melacha, so that's a full chibur on a deraisa level, bein l'tuma bein laza, that both tuma and laza will transfer from one of the knives to the other knife. Shelo b'shas melacha, when they're not being used, we already had this Gemara a number of weeks ago, when they're not connected, so the din would be that shelo b'shas melacha ain't no chibur, it's not chibur at all, lo l'tuma lo laza. That's the dimma deraisa. But came along the gazu, there goes out tuma shlobashas malacha, bishum tuma shi bishas malacha. They were gozer that even when they're not using it and only one knife became tame, they said, no, both knives will be tame. Shelo b'shas malacha. Gzeir, lest the person say b'shas malacha, the same din would be true, that only one became tamei, not the other. So in order to ensure that wouldn't happen, they said, just like when b'shas malacha, we view tumel chibur, that one gets tamei, the other's tamei as well. So too, shelo b'shas malacha, we were gozer, that so too, that if one became tamei, the other should be tamei as well. Now the opposite, the Gemara says, mal hazah, shehi b'shas malacha, mishim hazah, shelo b'shas malacha. They were gozer by the hazah, the opposite. That when it's not malacha, so there's no chibur. So therefore, a hazah on one knife wouldn't work for the other knife. That's the din midraisa. Now, when it came to shas malacha, even though midraisa, it would be a chibur, hazah on one would be sufficient. They're concerned if I say by shas malacha, hazah on one knife would affect the other one as well. I might say the same thing, shaloba shas malacha, that hazah on one would affect the other as well. And that's not the case. So there goes there, just like shaloba shas malacha, there's no chibur by hazah. So to be shas malacha, there goes there, there's no hazah. No chibur by hazah, and you have to do hazah on both of these items. So this is the long-winded braisa. Either way, we see from here that the chibur depends on shas malacha or not shas malacha, and even if you take it off, even though you can put it back together, we still see from here that it's considered separate. So above we said, no, hol v'hishediot yachal achzirbo. So do we say when things are disconnected, we view it as halachically connected or not halachically connected? And the Gemara says, we'll go on to the next daf. El Amar Rav, Rav says, Hovil, onto daf nun tes, Hovil, Roy la Kisha, Agavi Cheres, since it's a fit to hit on Klei Cheres, has a certain purpose. We'll see Rashi in just a second. And Itamar Nami, Amar Rav Yossi, Bar Chanina, Hovil, Roy la Kisha, Agavi Cheres. Since it's fit, it has a certain purpose, even though you take the inbal, even though you took the clapper off, it still has a function. You could still hit it against the Klei Cheres to make noise. It doesn't remove a dying to Masa Alav, as opposed to the cases of the knives and the Ritani, the Izma Shiritani and the Mesporis, that when you separate it has no function, and therefore when it's disconnected, it's Tame. So here, it's not because you could Hedio could put it back together, here because even when you separate the Inbal, it still has a function. Just look at Rashi to sum everything up. He summed everything up very nicely in the top Rashi and Daphne and Tess, and we'll stop with this. Rashi says, "Holver roy la kisha gabi chera." Since you could still use the inbal and clap it against the earthenware piece of pottery, umashmir kol kibetchila, and it can still make a sound like it initially did. So nothing really changed. V'lo batalei m'milacha rishona, doesn't undo its initial purpose. V'havalei kikli shenika v'pachlas mimotzi rimon. That we have a din that when you have a kli, if you want to make the kli no longer the kli, you have to make a hole inside the kli that's big enough to have a rimon, a pomegranate, fall right through. If a rimon could fit through that hole, that means it's no longer clean. But let's say there's a hole that's pachas from the size of the rimon. There's a hole, but a rimon can't fit through, even though it might be somewhat broken, that's still considered clean. So here's, well, even though the inbal broke off and it's like there's a hole in it, at the same time, since it still has a function, it's a hole that doesn't disqualify it from being a clean. As the Gemara says, Rashi says, Havalei kekli shenikav bipachos mimotzi rimon de kaimelon de lo tiar mitumasa. That does not undo its tumah. Bishum de royal machla, it's still able to be used. The hasha itarti kul. Now everything makes sense, and Rashi sums everything up. The behema tower below inbal. When the behema zug is tower, that's when there's no inbal with no clapper at all. Kedegatani b'masisin k'maisa, like the first mission. The lav manahu, it's not a kli, and therefore tower. Ube inbal, when there is an inbal, it's tame. Kedok binam b'sraisa, the second braisa. Dinbal mashvilei mana. The existence, the presence of an inbal of a clapper makes it a kli. With Adam Gadol, when it comes to Adam Gadol, a person, human being, af below inbal, even without an inbal, tamets tamet, dila tachshit hu v'lo bay inbal. An adult who wears a bell doesn't want the inbal, doesn't want the clapper, doesn't want the sound. They just there as a decoration. So even without the inbal, it's a tachshit and it's a kli. V'hayinu dekatani b'kamai. So that's the first brisa, the mekablan tuma, that a kli of an Adam is mekablan tuma. With the katanim, when it comes to katanim and children, the lakala of it is made for making sound. Kibulahu de lo kabu below inbal. It's not makabal tumah unless there's an inbal. Only with an inbal is makabal tumah. Without an inbal, it's not makabal tumah. Tikad gatani ain lahem inbal tahorim. There's no inbal, it's tahorim. Bishul hayu lo inbal meolam de lo nigmar malachtan, was never complete. Not lo in bilayim, if it had initially inbal and in bilayim were removed, bein lefnei tumah bein laachot tumah tamem, the subject of tumah de lo nishbru kishir, because it didn't break enough, because since the clapper still has a function, even though it's broken, it's still considered a kli like the initial way it was made. And we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day, a wonderful week, and we, mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow morning.